This pretty village said my name, you know. Generations use their minds to hollow out the stones. This will be our little secret. Cross your heart and hope to die today. Time will pass us by, and we can be gone within the blink of an eye. We can hold each other in the eye of the storm. We will be strong against the face of it all.
Good morning and welcome to episode 192 of Taking in Charge podcast with you from Regensburg, Germany. I am David Hein of Hein News. Thank you for stopping by yet again. Back home. Yes, was up in Berlin for the Final Four. Some good stuff. Both the EuroLeague Final Four and the Adidas Next Generation Tournament were pretty exciting. And yeah, on the way back home, I think I caught something of a cold or something. So that's why the might sound a little bit under the weather. I was perfectly fine the entire time until the trip home. So something caught me. Yeah, thanks for stopping in. If you want to get a hold of the show, contact the best, easiest way to contact us is at on Twitter at Hein News, HEINNEWS. There's also the Facebook group that's at just put in Taking the Charge podcast, and you will find the group. And we just ask you to be let in, and of course we will bring y'all in. There's the website, and that is heinnews.com, and the email address is heinnews@gmx.de. So plenty of ways to get in contact with the show. Please do that. You can rate and review the show on iTunes, and yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I'm going to focus mainly on the EuroLeague Final Four and Adidas Next Generation Tournament. Not going to really go into the NBA much. Just because I really haven't been paying that much attention. Obviously, there's San Antonio going out in the hand to the hands of Oklahoma City, and the draft with the 76ers getting number one, Lakers number two. And of course, Oklahoma City taking game one from from Golden State. So that's all you're gonna get on me. I'm gonna focus on some of the stuff that I ended up watching. Obviously, in Berlin for the Adidas Next Generation, and then the CSKA Moscow taking home first title since 2008, which is probably an eternity for them. Some good hoops. I think it was in general pretty exciting. You had CSKA put together a pretty good show against Lokomotiv Kuban. Cruising to the final got close a little bit, but never really thought they would let it out of their hands. The second game with Fenerbahce against Laboral, obviously, yeah, kind of letting it out of their hands in the end. Seems like they really should have gotten it home, but that's some of the big game. Big game guys that are missing. You know, you don't have Bruces, but that's really it. You know, you don't have a lot of big game guys. Even a guy like Bertrands, you know, Tile, you know, none of these guys. Blazic maybe a little bit, but obviously Blazic isn't that big of a role player for that. I mean, he's kind of just a role player. Doesn't take a big part in it. You know, and on the other hand, you know, you had guys like Antic and Slukas, you know, who really brought the teams the team back. You know, Vesely played a little in there too. Datome, you know, all these guys have big time experience. Bogdanovich then took over in overtime with the 9 points, and you knew that once they got to overtime that the game was going to be over. The Fenerbahce, it would have been close. It would have been nice to see Laborel maybe hit one or two of those shots sort of early to kind of keep them a little bit close. But once it got a little bit out of hand, you knew it was over. So, yeah, Fenerbahce, with the support of their fans, some pretty decent support. It wasn't fantastic. It wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. I mean, if it was a Greek team, I really think it would have been a lot more intense, you know. Even Vesely said in the day before the final, you know, said it was quiet at points. Yeah, I mean, you know, you saw that how good Slukas is. You know, I mean, he, you know, 13, 5, and 7. You know, he had 2 turnovers, but, you know, just really had a great show. You know, it's the big games, and I think this is a kind of a learning experience for Laborel. And, I think probably one of the biggest guys' games for him might be Adam Hanga, you know. You know, these aren't the type of games that he's used to playing, just because Hungary doesn't get very far, and you know, this is the first time that one of his teams has really gone pretty far. So he's really a guy who can say, you know, this is a good experience for me and will take me a lot farther. I suppose Berchtesgaden's too. You know, he Latvia haven't been able to do a lot of things. They did make the quarterfinals last year at Eurobasket. But you know, didn't get a win after that, ended up 8th and would have missed the qualifiers had not been for the bids. Sorry about that. But guys like Mike James and Darius Adams, you know, these are American veterans who've been around a little bit, and okay, it helps them as well, but I think it's even more important for the European guys, you know, whereas Antic, you know, he has 2 championships, Slukas has 2 championships, you know, Bogdanovich played against the Americans in the final of the World Cup 2014, Kalinic as well, Datome, who played in the NBA, also played big games with the Italian national team, Vesely obviously got the Czechs qualified for the Olympic qualifying tournament. Hickman was a yearly champion, even though he wasn't that big of a role player there, you know. So that big game experience, you know, definitely shined through in that semifinal. Third place game, man, I don't really think you can talk too much about it. I mean, Lokomotiv Kuban, Krasnodar, you know, okay, you know, stepping back up and winning a game that really nobody really wants to play. And they certainly sounded like that after the press conference of both press conferences, first saying that after losing semifinals, and then after the game saying, you know, they really didn't want to play the game all that much. So to the final, I mean, it's hard not to be impressed. You had thoughts that maybe maybe CSK would collapse again, being up by, what was it? I think it was 21, if I'm not mistaken, the second quarter, or early third, you know, you just saw Fenerbahce come back, and you kept on thinking how many times have CSK not been able to come through. Looked so sharp in the first half, especially that second quarter, the end of the second quarter, where they really pulled it away. They go up by 20 at the break, and then it was just, you know, he had the big shots from so many different people. And, you know, DeColo misses the layup, and then, you know, Hirapa, you know, huge guy with so much experience, Olympics, Euroleague championship. You know, he's been in these games so many times. Teodosic so many times. De Colo, you know, he hasn't really been as hasn't really gone through the nightmare as much as some of the other guys, the Teodosic's and Vorontsevich's and Kurbanov, Skirapa. You know, even Hines hasn't been around for most of that. So, you know, and then in the fourth quarter and in the overtime, it was a lot of free throws, and you know, you have to tip your hat to mainly De Colo. I mean, Teodosic hit his too as well, but De Colo, I think, went 8 of 8 on free throws and had 10 points in the fourth quarter. And yeah, just a very, very impressive showing. First of all, building the lead. Fenerbahce, you know, kind of coming out of their sleep in the third and fourth quarters. Again, led by Šlukas and Pero Antic. Really, those two. And then, I mean, look at some of the shots that Dixon made were amazing. But, you know, in the end, I'm really happy. I'm really happy for guys like Teodosic and Vorontsevich, who have gone through so much. Hines is, you know, now he has three. You know, De Colo has a EuroLeague title now. You know, so lots of good stories there to be happy about. Europa, you know, finally has another one. And obviously with Coach Etudis, I mean, it's a great story. Him also knocking off Obradovic, and so yeah, let's go to the interviews. I guess not really any interviews. I have interviews, but they're actually before the final, not after the final. And I'll start with those two. And I talked to Gigi Datome from Fenerbahce before the game, and then talked to Victor Hirapa also before the final. So I'll let those two go first, and then we'll catch you on the other side of those.
Very happy to be here, and we are very, very excited, and we can't wait to play.
What is the most, you know, dangerous thing about this CSKA team?
CSKA team, you say it. It's a team. It's a team with a lot of good players, with a lot of few key players, but everybody has a specific role in order to have the team to achieve their goals. And they made a very good season, so it's a very good basketball team. And we have to play our best basketball too in order to compete with them.
What things Lokomotiv Kuban showed about the dosage problems?
No, I think Todorovic didn't have any problem in the game. He didn't force any shot because he's a great player. But he doesn't want to score 20 points every game, but he read the situation. He had 6 assists, that's a lot, and 8 points, so he had a solid game. He didn't play a lot, he played only 20-some minutes. He made an unbelievable season, but I don't think yesterday he had problems. He put in rhythm all the teammates, so he had another very good game.
But the team's focus will be to stop the team from scoring?
No. Yesterday they didn't score much, but they won. So the goal is to win, and no matter what, we have to read the game. Also, we're gonna prepare something, but then we have to see what happened on the court and to react and to read their defense and to have the best choices possible.
What will be the focus on offense for your team? What will
try like to always explore? to read their defense, especially they used to switch a lot on defense, and we have to see where we can have the advantage and make the right choice. Take the good shots, share the ball. It's simple, but when you play against a tough defense and tough team, it's not that simple. But we have to be focused on doing the simple things.
Also, playing post up against small guys will be important.
Yeah, but sorry, they come to fake to double team. Sometimes they double team. They are very unpredictable in defense. We have to see what will be on the game and to react to their choices.
How excited are you to be here? I mean, this is where you want to be, and you know, you came over and you know this was your goal. you're one small step from your goal, and what's it like for you to be here?
Oh, very excited, very happy, very glad for all the work that we put in to be here. And of course we are now everything we did is forgotten, and we just want to win one more to do something special for ourselves and for our club.
How much pressure do you, not necessarily pressure, but how much expectation do you have, do you sort of sense from everybody around? You know, I mean, obviously there were so many fans here yesterday. Just what kind of expectation and energy that you feel?
No, I mean, but I'm the first that put a lot of expectation on me, so also if only two journalists were here, I had the same expectation, you know, and if we're gonna win, I will be very happy. If we're gonna lose, I'll be very sad. It's so obvious, and we are very excited. I'm confident, and we are confident because we worked in the right way since the first day, so the journey we made gave us confidence to play the final and to deserve to be here.
Papa Lucas had a meeting with the Adidas Next Generation kids a couple days ago and said that one of the ways that he prepares for the game ahead of time is he lives the game in his mind beforehand. Do you have sort of a pregame ritual? I mean, is that something that you do as well? Or I mean, how do you see the game sort of going through your mind beforehand?
Yeah, of course, I think about the game, I think about opponents, I think about situation that could be on my advantage on the court or something that maybe I have to put more focus that can be put me in some troubles. But of course, if Papa Luca say that, it's something that I should start to do more because he's one of the best Euro player ever. So the kids should listen to him.
You don't want to say, okay, it's already over. But what would it mean if you were to, you know, be victorious and have confetti come down on you tomorrow? That's your goal.
Ask me the same question tomorrow. No.
You guys are exactly where you want to be. Maybe talk about about being here in the final with a chance to win the first title in probably way too long for you guys.
Yeah, you know, we did the first step for us was a huge step because last four times we was not qualifying for the finals, and for us it's two finals. I told the guys in the locker room, this is two finals, the semi-final also final for us. We need to get in the final for us to play it and to get the chance to fight for the trophy, and we did the first step, and now the first step don't mean anything without the second one, and everybody knows it, opponent also in the same shoes, so Final Four based on the one game. We'll see who will get it.
How do you sense that this team's different than say last year, or even, you know, the teams from the past couple of years?
You know, every year since we're here, every year almost exactly. On missing one time, every time I have this question, is the same feeling or not? Yeah, it's a different feeling. Every time it's different feeling, different team, and even 2, 3, 4 players changing, it's still different atmosphere and team. But this year we kind of found ourselves, our style. During the whole season we play consistent, and we know the roles, and the team had success during the whole season, and come to the Final Four we already know what to expect. Not only veterans, the guys who was here last year in the Final Four, I mean, they also have experience, and they know what to expect, what kind of environment is here, and what the targets are. Not only celebration of the Final Four, the all events, rewards, the one team achievements, you need to be focused on the game.
Do you think that you guys have more experience, and that will also kind of help in the end?
I think in one game trophy, everything helps. All small things. This is experience. One steal, one loose ball. Doesn't matter what's your name in the chart. You have check in for the game for 10, 15 seconds. Maybe this helps. Everything have to count.
One thing you think that that your team's gonna actually have to do tomorrow to get the trophy?
Oh, we have to play our game. We no opponent, even we don't face each other this season, but we know the players, we know the coach, we know the style, but most important for us, our performance defensively and offensively.
Coach obviously has so much experience in the Final Four. Even at the beginning he wasn't the coach, he was the assistant coach. How do you see him as he's developed as a coach, not necessarily in his coaching style, but sort of as a leader, and you know, because he was, you know, Radovich his right-hand man for so long, and he's kind of stepping out of his shadows, and how do you see the development of Coach since he's come?
Yeah, he's progressing obviously, and it's doesn't matter. He's the was behind of Obradovic. He have a lot of experience, also Final Four experience, and he's shown this through these last two seasons he's with us, and now he's more confident. He know exactly what the team needs on the floor, out the floor, off the floor, and he telling us things which we need to follow and do in tournaments like Final Four. Is different than top 16 than regular season, and like I already say, even we have the players who already been in the Final Four, somebody was only once or twice, and still need some advices and some confidence, and he's giving us.
It's been a long time since you guys were able to celebrate this title. What would it mean then on Sunday evening when you guys are able to celebrate and hold the trophy and have the confetti come down on you and just be happy?
Yeah, it's good you are already have this imagination. We still have the tough game in front of us, and we think about what we need to do on the floor first. Also experience telling us you cannot celebrate before you get it.
All right, I'll let you go then.
All right. Yeah. You know, that's like I said, I'm really happy for Harappa, and you know, it's a big feat for them. And let's move to the press conferences. I'm just going to put the press conferences on today, this week, because figured it'd be kind of nice for you guys to maybe hear them. I'm going to cut out the players and just go with the coaches. Usually the players come to the press conference. One of the players comes to the press conference and say a few words, and they're open for questions. Not very often get a question. And then they're free to go, and then the coach comes out, makes a statement, and then goes into his question and answer stage of the press conference. So start with Obradovic, and then we'll let you, and then get back and then talk, and then introduce the other one.
Yes. Good evening to everybody. First of all, of course, I want to congratulate to CSKA for their seventh title, and also to my, let's say, small brother Dimitri Sitoudis for his first title. Also in his staff are two guys that they was together with me, his assistant coach Andreas and also Darryl Middleton to play, so congratulations to them, special congratulations to them. It's absolutely clear that it was two different parts of the game. First half that CSKA dominate, because first of all their quality, and that we was absolutely without concentration. Talking about this, I want to say about our defense, that they scored so many easy points from some set plays that we was ready, that we had planned how to defend, but this is, you know, how it was. Switched out on this, and they take great advantage, big advantage. Locker room, I try to talk to my players to say that only that I want is to show this kind of character that they show during all the season. Because I'm really very proud of them, and now, right now, I'm very proud. I believe that we make very, very good EuroLeague. It was very close even to win the EuroLeague. And I believe that we deserve to win the EuroLeague. But somebody else don't think that we deserve to win EuroLeague. Okay. To some people that they also think that we don't deserve to win Europe. As I watch now in my locker room, I watch last offense of CSKA. Before that, Nando De Colo, congratulations also to him, that is MVP, great season, great player, that he make traveling before that he shot 3-point shot. Obvious traveling. This is under the rule, and this must be called traveling. So everything is finished over there. And after that, there are some more calls or no calls that I will study. I don't have doubt about this, but I don't want to talk now about this. And the fact is, it's tough to understand. You play final of EuroLeague, you play overtime, opponent team shot 10 free throws, your team shot 0 free throws. It's very tough to understand. And game, how it was all the game, and how it was criteria during the game. Anyhow, we was very close, I believe, really from my heart, that we deserve to win the game in regular time. Thanks to our people, thanks to fans of Fenerbahce for great support. I hope that we will be everybody together also next season to try to have one more good EuroLeague season. Now we must think about something that is in front of us. Wednesday we start playoff in Turkish Championship, and I say to my players that is also a big target. And this experience must help us for the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach. Any questions, please? Raise your hand and say your name, name of the media for you. No questions? Thank you, Coach.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, I mean, a legend like Obradovic, I just thought it was kind of cheap for him to, you know, blame the refs so much. I mean, come on, don't let your team get down by 21. I mean, play some defense, and you're not gonna have the calls like that. I mean, you know, they actually had more free throws. Fenerbahce had more free throws, 27 of 39 to 30 of 32. You know, here, there you go. Don't make 69% of your free throws. You know, you don't make 69% of your free throws and you win in regulation if you hit 76, you know, which is pretty good. 69, come on, man, you could shoot better than that. You know, so, and yeah, Jan Vesely, 1 of 10, you know, hey, if you can't, if Vesely goes 7 of 10, totally different story, you know. Maybe they grab that win, you know. Who knows? So what did he shoot? Show. Oh man, he was 45% for the season. Vesely was. But you know, fouls committed, 33 for Moscow, 28 for Fenerbahce. So more fouls called on Fenerbahce then were called on, more fouls were called on CSK than on Fenerbahce. So to go with the refs, I just thought that was really cheap, you know. I mean, for such a guy like that, I mean, kind of cheapens the whole thing for, you know, a guy who says, yeah, my brother and all this, but it just seems like he could have been, you know, just, I don't like when coaches blame refs. You know, okay, if it's an absolute blatant thing at the end of the game, but I mean, even if you know, coaches are going to say, "Oh, we didn't lose." If a player loses, if a team loses because a guy missed an open layup at the end of the game, the coach is going to say, "Well, we didn't lose that. We didn't lose the game on that on that final possession. You know, we lost it on the X number of turnovers over the game." And yet they'll say, you know, we lost this game at the end on a referee's call. It's the same thing. And I'm sick of it. It's in the NBA going on right now. Okay, NBA makes, you know, they're making mistakes too. Game has gotten so fast. And I wonder if these refs are kind of getting a little bit of, you know, getting a little bit of uncertainty going on right now because they're able to go to the replay so much. You know, maybe it's going in the back of their mind whether or not they can or should or call something like that. And I mean, you could say, you know, you could say in the first quarter, I think it was, two, you know, pretty questionable turnover, traveling calls on Hines. You know, you take those turnovers away and those are baskets, you know, it's a totally, you know, it's different. So, I mean, for Obradovic to blame the loss on the refereeing, I thought it was just super cheap. And I really couldn't believe that a guy like that with that much status and that much, that much history of winning would go and try to just blame it on the refs. Just seemed pretty weak to me. All right, let's go over to the winning coach, Dimitris Itoudis. Here's the press conference with him, and we'll see you on the other side.
Coach?
Yeah.
Please.
Okay, good evening to everybody. I don't have many words to say. Just I'm very happy. Being
part of such a great organization, and bringing all together that European title that everybody was expecting to bring. Sometimes life is writing some scenarios that are amazing, I don't know. And but I'm very happy, because in this Final Four in Berlin, we had people that they reached first time the Final Four, they reached first time the final, and they became first time European champions. I hope and I wish them and the rest not to be the last one, but many of those in the future. About the game, we can talk everything. Like, we start the game very well, we were dominant. We managed also in the third quarter to stay, even though to stay focused and alert, despite the fact that Fener will pressure, that's what we said. They're a great team. They managed to tie the game, to overcome in a overtime, plus three. But the fire was there for my players, and I'm very proud for them. They managed to handle all the emotions. We stayed calm, we stayed together. We tried to find the right way to attack. And finally, they deserve all the glory. They write history. The history is written because some players, if this exists, I said if this exists, I don't know. Bad luck, this, you know, some superstitious. You know, the way that happened, the way we won that title, and especially with some players that they were here in Final Fours, losing the title just in the clutch moments. Now they have won it, and they have my respect, my love, and I'm ready to, you know, to give everything for them. Congratulations to all the players, to the management. I'm happy for Mr. Vatutin, for Mr. Ivanov, for Mrs. Natasha, and all the fans that they support us. We make a lot of fans happy, a lot of million of fans happy. I'm very proud of my staff. Here with me is Andreas, my first assistant, but all the staff, Anton, Daryl, Dennis, Zhenya, Kostas, all the medical staff, and everybody who supports the team. We're at the end, we have won. We'll celebrate tonight, but tomorrow I have to say the schedule about the VTB semi-finals. So congratulations to everybody, and thank you, everybody.
Thank you, coach. Questions? Yes, here.
Rozan Slav from Socrates Magazine. Coach, everyone wonders your small talk with Obradovic after the game. What happened there?
Nothing, that was a friendly talk. What do you mean what happened? Like, what we said or?
What said, and it's like all nine Messi and Obradovic talk, but
no.
A little bit friendly.
Listen, I will say exactly what I said, my words, and I believe deeply this, everything what I said. I wouldn't be over here if it was not Željko, if it was not Panathinaikos, that we worked 13 years, the family of Yannakopoulos supporting that. So I said, I know how hard it is. Today, one will win. It was CSKA and me and my staff, but he had a big percentage, big part of that what we have won. Especially, I felt that I have to say that to Željko. So I thank him from my heart, and that was that. And we said the same now on the corridor.
More questions? There, please, and go to
Congratulations, Coach Pandian. Željko Obradović commented that it was a great game, but in the last dying seconds when Nikola made a shot, he made a treble, and in addition to that, CSKA went to the line more often than Fenerbahce, so especially the critical minutes. Would you like to comment on that? I mean, did you think that the referees were favorable?
I have a huge respect to Željko, to Fenerbahce's organizations, to their fans, to their efforts, and of course their disappointment because of the loss. So I wouldn't come to that to comment. Please, I don't try to escape anything. They have the rights, all the rights to say whatever they think. And this comes from a huge respect that I have for them.
Okay, so there on the left, two questions.
Hi. What happened in your mind when you when Fener took the lead 73-71? Did you see the ghost? It doesn't exist.
You know, no, I didn't see the ghost. That's a basketball game, goddammit. That's a basketball game between two great clubs and great players. Yes, it happened a lot of things during the fourth quarter. They came back, they took the lead, like you said, but we were calm. We showed that to the players. We talked, let's trust and let's do this, what we have done the whole season. Why we were successful, why everybody and the majority of you said that we are a favorite, because we were playing very attractive, a very good basketball that the majority of people liked it. So let's do so. And I said, because of the players, we managed to control it. We managed to tie it, go into the overtime. And despite the fact that they had a big three, get the lead, we were going possession by possession and get the victory.
Congratulations, Adonis Kapkapouras from Mega TV and Gazeta.gr. It happened so many times, this kind of incidents, you know, to Cesca, even before your presence in the team. Also last year in the semi-final. It's kind of human, you know, to say, you know, not again this way. The way the fourth quarter played out. I want to ask you, how did you manage to keep your cool and to find the strength to persuade the team to take again the winning path, you know, in the crucial seconds?
It was not easy. I would like, I would say that. But you know, everybody is looking to the leader. So I would be a damn fool or a bad leader at that moment if I would show not a self-control, not a deep belief, and not going to say what happened in the past or a few moments ago, but not talking about the future of the game. We said that the game has a future. We know what we have. At that moment, we had Theo and Nando playing with four fouls. We had to go those hockey substitutions. We knew that we're going to risk something. But I had those players. When you have Nando DeColo, when you have Teodosic, when you have Victor, when you have Voroncic, when you have Kyle Hines, when you have Jack, when you have all those players, I can mention each of them, Corey Higgins, then you feel safe.
Any questions? Yeah, please.
Coach, you have local players this season more than today. They had higher roles in the team, like Kubano, Kriapa, and other guys, had, especially Warren Savage. Is that something that you had planned specifically before the season? Because this season they had a better play, they had performed better, and the team had more stability indeed. What do you think about that?
You know, I never change or put my players or treat my players regarding their where they're coming from, their passport. If they're Russians, English, Serbian, French, or whatever. We managed this year together, all the staff, the management, to create a strong belief within the locker room. We created a healthy atmosphere. We create an atmosphere of winners. Of course, now it's easy to say so. We didn't have easy moments during the season. I'm not talking only about injuries. I'm talking about also, you know, in a family happen a lot of things. But all of them, they put themselves within the unity and within the family, and they have the goal to win, no matter what. This year, we had locker room. This year, we had real captain. We had leaders in the locker room, leaders on the court. That's why we did it. And strong belief, of course.
Questions?
How big is the difference? How big is the difference to win it as a head coach and win as an assistant coach?
Never thought about that. Definitely, you know, I said to Andreas, I think, how the story goes, and how life sometimes we were on that bench where it was Fenerbahce 2009 where with CSKA, great team also at that moment, and we were Saras scored that three-pointer, we go to plus 23, Pau is going plus 23, but they managed to come back, and then we play for the do or die with Šiška shooting like can go in, so CSKA will be deserved champion. You know, we lived so many things, and that's why I said that I wouldn't be over here if it would not be those 13 years, that persistent work, a lot of experience working with great players. At that moment, when I was assistant coach, I was had so much of a space and trust and belief to being creative, and you know, maybe I look arrogant now, but that's the truth. It was not that kind of a difference. Of course, you had a leader. When you have such a leader like Željko, you only can learn things.
All right. Yeah. Liked. Just over the last couple of years, just have liked Coach Atotis Mayor more and more. You know, going over to you know, when Una Bradovich left, him going down to Banvit and doing a really good job there. And then was, you know, you had to be a little bit of, you had to be a little, you had to wonder a little bit, you know, with such a okay, you know, he had all those years as the assistant to Obradovic, and obviously learned from a great coach, and but to take over an established giant like CSK Moscow, with really just the 1 year of coaching experience with Banvit, you know, you were like, hey, okay, let's see what he does. And, you know, he's a yearly champion 2 years later, so impressive. Congratulations to him. Congratulations to the whole club. Obviously, since 2008, been waiting, and but they got it. You know, you go back and really... it's, you just look at that backcourt, you know, you have those guys, you have Dekolo and you have Teodosic, and you know, you had the game never, you never thought that the game was out of control. You know, you always knew that they would get points. You know, they combined for 41, they combined for 17 and 19 free throws. They hit four of 9 three-pointers. 14 assists combined, 18 fouls received, fouls drawn, and you know, obviously that gives you so much freedom, but you know, the difference in this game, I really thought, was the fact that Atotis was able to get Hines to play the whole game. He had some foul trouble, but stayed in there for a lot of that end of that game. Didn't foul out and ended up, you know, ended up with 15 and 4 rebounds. But then that, you know, you had when Teodosic and Dekolo both had 4, you were like, really, these guys can't afford to foul out. Yeah, he brought in, kept bringing in Aaron Jackson and Nikita Kurbanov, offense or defense, swapped them every chance he could, and was able to survive. You know, they both stayed on the court the whole time, you know, got the job done offensively. You know, great teamwork with Jackson and Kurbanov coming on, and yeah, definitely a worthy champion, and congratulations again to CSKA Moscow. All right, let's move on to the Adidas Next Generation Tournament. The final was FC Barcelona, Lhasa against Cervena Zvezda, Red Star. Yeah, okay, so Barcelona kind of cruised throughout, was impressed with them. They had a little bit of a hiccup at the beginning of the tournament. I think they went down by 18 in the first game to INSEP, but roared back and went undefeated to the final. Took down Mega then in the second game, and really cruised by Barcelona, cruised by Jaguars in the final group game, deciding, you know, whoever won that game was going to win the group and go to the final, and they blasted Jaguars by 17. Other group was a little more traumatic. You had right away. I call it an upset. You know, Letos Ritos knocking off Zvezda in the first game of the group, and then Real Madrid. They had to pull out. They kind of pulled it out late. Berlin was really close to tying the game, and then just kind of lost it. And then second round of games, you had Zvezda knocking off Berlin by 17, and Real Madrid just sneaking by Letos Ritos. And then in the final, you had Real Madrid losing by 10 points to Zvezda, and that meant that Real Madrid was not going to make it to the final, which obviously they had made they had reached the last two finals, one last year, so they were reigning champions, and Zvezda, that was a rematch. I don't know if it really lived up to the billing. Zvezda, they needed a win by 13 in order to, definitely secure their spot in the final. Ended up winning by 10, and so it was, both teams were really down after the game because they figured that Letos Ritos would kind of cruise by Alba Berlin. But it wasn't meant to be, and for Letos Ritos. And, Ferdinand Sikla had scored 28. And Alba took down Ritos by 8, and ended up that Zvezda went to the final again, third straight final, first time that's happened since FMP went to four straight. I don't think I put it on the group. Maybe I should put it in the group if I haven't. I think I did. The final was obviously between Barcelona and Zvezda. And if you watch the video, there's no sound for the first, 11 minutes or so, and then the sound comes on. And it was the first time I've ever done color commentary, so it was pretty exciting. Really a good game. Barcelona cruised out to a big lead in the first quarter. No, they were up by 16 after the first. I don't know if they had gotten it up higher than that. And then Zvezda came back, roared back in the second quarter. Eric Villa was really hot in the first quarter. I think he scored 10 in the first. And just shot some insane percentage, I think 65% or something like that. And then there was the glue guys. It was like the Radovic, and Korovic who really kind of brought the brought Red Star kind of back into the game. It was kind of a fight for a while, and Barcelona, you always felt that Barcelona was, had weapons. Five guys ended up scoring in double figures, and that's just, was very typical of this team. There's so many weapons on this team. You had Eric Villa, who's this long guy who could just do so many different things, hit five threes. Esteban came off the bench and nailed all four of his three pointers. You had Alex Font, who's just do it all guy, wing, can do so many different things. Rodion Skouros, who's worth the price of admission, and Sergi Martinez, the 99 gem for Spain. Scored 17. A nice power forward, small forward, kind of depending whether or not he can take the three or not. And they had their big athletic Senegalese, Otuman Diag, who got some, you know, got in foul trouble and was less of a factor. But he was super dominant and helped Barcelona take that lead. And for Zvezda, you know, obviously you had, like we said, Radovic, who scored 18, and Korovic scored 11. You know, Alexey Radonov, all right, you like his 23, you like the 4 rebounds, the 4 assists, the 3 steals, even a block. But the 5 turnovers, you know, he wasn't under control. Simonic, as great as he is, he's pretty passive. You know, likes taking threes. You know, was able to. You know, he had a really difficult matchup. Kuros was on him quite a bit of the time. That was really fun watching those two go at it, one side and the other. Ended up with 19, but only on 7 of 14, 2 of 6 from 3-point range. And a guy that, you know, Uskukovic, you know, played some really good defense and did a pretty decent job of getting the guys organized, with 7 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. It was a little small, I think, also for that length of the Barcelona team. And a guy that you were kind of hoping that maybe he could be like an Esteban on the one side, you know, for Zvezda was Peter Rebic, and you know, he's twice scored 9 points with 3 threes. He only had 1 shot, and you know, he could have been a guy. He went scoreless, missed his 3. You know, he would have been a guy that maybe could have, open some space up for some others. Interesting game, and really was excited about doing the game also because was doing the color commentary. So I guess last thing, kind of want to run down a little bit of the teams. I know we've had the guys on the show talk about the different teams over the course of the last couple of months, but just to kind of run down since I saw them. Start with Inzep, I guess, just because they're open right now. Horde really looked good. He was much more active than he was at the Albert Schweitzer. Maybe I wonder if that's also a little bit more of a comfort level, since he was with the French national team, and there are a handful of guys on that French national team that aren't in Inzep, liked a lot of his game. And can definitely see why he is he's a highly thought of prospect. A little bit wondering about shooting. You know, he did only hit 6 of 18 threes, season. He was 4 of 9. But free throws, only 50%, and for the entire year was 57%. So might need to work a little bit on that. But you know, still a 99. So has a little bit of time. And I think the gem of this team, and the gem of the French national team, for a long time to be, is going to be Sekou Doumbouya, the 2000 born, December 23rd, 2000. So won't turn 16 until just before Christmas. He ended up averaging 14 points. Only shot 27% from 3-point range, but had 3.5 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1.3 blocks. You saw some flash. You saw some nice little flash there, also passing, super aggressive, great leaping ability, Has some definite range on the three. Super exciting young player. Cannot wait to watch more of him. And I really hope French take him to Saragossa for the U17 World Championship. Cameroon born is that. Ludovic Bayhurst, just, you know, an adequate point guard, not very big, 174. I'm wondering if there's much of a prospect level now for Baptiste Schwoff. You know, he's I assume he's the captain. Tries to do a lot of things and is not successful a lot of the time, and you know, is not really shooting the ball very well. I think he's going to be an average player, not going to be anything special. Guy who I liked more seemed to like him more in the Albert Schweitzer was Ivan Fevre, also a 99. He did average 11 points, but just seemed to me that was a little more exciting down in Mannheim. Probably the guy I liked the most that I hadn't known ahead of time really was Olivier Sarr. He's not as long. I mean, he's 2'10", but he's not as long as Jonathan John. But he, you know, he has a little bit of the same sort of actions, body, you know, but not as long. You know, he had a really great game against Mega with 12 points, 6 rebounds. Had 7 points and 10 rebounds against Chagiris. Was definitely an interesting kid, and I think he's gonna, you know, he really grew better and better over the course of the tournament, and I think he's gonna be an exciting player at the under 17s. Mega was really impressed with Pekarski, Marco Pekarski. Obviously, he's the huge name for them in the 2000 generation. Does a lot of nice things. One thing, just saw that, you know, I think he last two games, not sure about the first game, but last two games against Barcelona and Incept, went scoreless, I think, in the fourth. Not going to say that means anything at all, but just putting it out there. But 2000 obviously does loads and loads of things. Novak Music, like him, and He seemed much more comfortable in this team, even though he had a lot of turnovers in the tournament, 20 in 3 games. So that's a lot. But yeah, I did see him a little more comfortable in this than the national team at Albert Schweitzer. sorry about that. A guy who really didn't do very much. Just a fantastic basketball body, it seems. Uros Plavsic, 90, December 98. Hit 33% of his threes. And 33%. Nice. Nice, cool stroke. 210. But didn't really do very much other than that. Nikola Miskovic, just loads of talent, and didn't have that great of a game against Incep, just oozes talent. Liked the kid a lot. He was probably the guy I liked the most, who I hadn't seen really much before, and averaged 12.5 in the first two games, and then, like I said, just struggled in the final game. And great basketball body, really seems to understand the game. And 99 seems kind of a surprise that they don't see. Still is a shock that they don't that Serbia is not going to be at the under 17 World Championship with guys like him and Pekarski, etc. Barcelona, kind of talked about them. I didn't mention Paul Figueres, the captain. Fantastic tournament all around. And had in the final, had 3 points on 4 shots and 3 rebounds, 10 assists. Averaged 6 assists in the first 3 games. So just excellent. 187, so he's not too small, but he's good game organizer. Shakiris, obviously we're missing Isaiah Hartenstein. We have to really start wondering what's going on. Not really hearing much out of Kaunas about what is. What's the latest with him. Have to be impressed with Arnas Velika. Was clearly the team leader for them. Had 14... almost 17 points, 6 rebounds, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals. Just total leader and good size at 192. Didn't shoot the ball extremely well from long range. Obviously with the 24%, but you know you can see that there's a shooter in there. Gitas Masoulis, the 205 power forward, ended up hitting 3 of 7 threes in the final 2 games to make that 3-point percentage a little bit better. Definitely a lot of talent in that group. Averaged 22 points in the 22 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 assists. He was clearly the guy who benefited most from the absence of Hartenstein, and definitely liked him. You had Lukas Ulekas, who was clearly a nice shooter. Not really loads more that I was excited about. It just seems like weird. I have an inability to really read Lithuanian talent somehow. Definitely those 3 guys. Ignas Sargunas was okay. Moving on to, I guess, yeah, here. No, let's go to Ritos. Litos Ritos then. You know, Itis Palauskas, tough as nails, point guard, really like general all around game that he's got. Was really impressed with him. It was a very young team, and it really seemed to like this team a little bit more than the Shagiris talent. Long term, you know. Again, it's like weird. I can't really come up with much to say about him. You know, Grantas Vasiliauskas, nice player, power forward, can do a lot of things. Just some good bodies, and not the greatest of analysis on them. I'm gonna have to just unfortunately leave it at them, at that and them. Sorry about that. Simon Yakas put something out. I'll try to link that up. Maybe you can get a better feed on them. Again, somehow the Lithuanians have given me problems. Berlin, obviously we know about Ferdinand Sikla. Again, showed total leadership and stepped up. Luis Alinda really had a nice tournament. He's on loan from, Hamburg. Filip Hakanov had a nice tournament when he was there. He was out originally. was told a stomach virus. He had a nice couple of games. Also on loan, he's from Rasta, Rastafechte from Artland. Also had Bennett Hund, just a little small scrappy point guard, and I think I'm starting to like the kid more and more. Just does a lot of nice things, and doesn't care about his size. Just as a fighter, and all right, let's finish this off with Real Madrid. Dejan Radončić is a stud. He's going to be playing for he's on the Montenegro team. He's on the preliminary roster for the EuroBasket 17 qualifiers. I hope he makes the team. Also a very nice kid. Talked to him afterwards. And so definitely all around game. Future star, 99 born, January 99. Can take over games, hits three pointers, just a big game player, and gonna be a big name well into the future. Felipe Dos Anjos is probably the other big name from this team, and a lot of length at 218, and he's getting a little bit better offensively. That the fact that he can do a little bit more, and obviously uses his size to get rebounds, but still not really impressed with him in total. I mean, he is 98. He's got time to improve. Does have a good motor, and for his length, really, I think he could have blocked more shots. Averaged over 8 games in Hospitalet in Berlin. Averaged 1.3, but only had 2 blocks in 62 minutes, and also had 2 of his shots blocked. Felipe Dos Anjos. I guess Samba and Jai, but I mean, he's pretty much just an offensive rebound, defensive guy. Ignacio Balaspin, maybe a little bit of a talent as well, but not really a lot there. Barcelona definitely have a better group of talent going right now. Okay, so I guess that's it. Guess that is the show for the week. With that, I guess last thing to do is let you know what you're going to be listening to. It is Hikikomori from Greg Atkinson, and it is available on freemusicarchive.org. Enjoy that, enjoy the NBA playoffs. We are down to the domestic league playoffs in Europe. And so with that, enjoy, and we'll talk to you next week.
To own this pretty village, set my name, you know. Generations use their minds to hollow out the stones. This will be our little secret. Cross your heart and hope to die today. Time will pass by, and we can be gone within the blink of an eye. We can hold each other in the eye of the storm. We will be strong against the face of it all. Keep me in this little box. The outside world is not compatible with me. Shut the door on your way out. Call again when hell is frozen over. Yes, I mean it. this will be our little secret. Cross your heart and hope to die today. Time will pass by and we can be gone within the blink of an eye. We can hold each other in the eye of the storm. We will be strong against the face of it all. I'm a force of nature like a wet weekend. Our little secret. I'm a rock of ages, like a sad old man. This will be our little secret today. Time will pass us by, and we can be gone within the blink of an eye. We can hold each other in the eye of the storm. We will be strong against the face of it all.
This is Pero Antic, Macedonian national team captain and a member of Atlanta Hawks, and you listening to Taking Charge.